All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we have Evan Zalischuk from Microsoft, who is a senior partner technical architect, to talk to us about, you know, I guess applying Teams features to your day-to-day work and how that, you know, can be solved for, you know, organizations and stuff that he works with within the field. So welcome, Evan. Thanks for coming on and speaking with us. Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and sort of how you got into Microsoft in this role.
Sure. And thanks, guys, for bringing me onto this call. It's kind of like a school reunion of sorts, because, of course, you're all four MVPs, and I was an MVP for a period of time. Interestingly enough, when I came to Microsoft that month, I had been renewed for my fifth year and had to relinquish my MVP because you can't be an MVP at Microsoft. But it's great to be in great company once again. So Habib, my history, geez, a long history of being a Microsoft partner of various sorts. So I think about 25 years of my career before joining Microsoft was spent in the partner ecosystem. Everything from starting a consulting company when I was quite young, when the organization I was working for went bankrupt and I decided to take over my clients, through to working at some of the Canadian telecoms, doing startups, acquiring partners, restructuring them and selling them. And it was interesting when I was at a Canadian telecom, it was back in Office Communication Server R1, those days, which I'm sure you all remember. And I looked at the product and I was the Microsoft guy at this telco. And I looked at it and I said, this thing's a PBX, even though Microsoft's saying, no, we have the Innovative Communications Alliance with Nortel and we're bringing those two worlds together. But then OCS R2 came out and I was saying to my leadership, this thing's a PBX. And everybody's saying, no way, not Microsoft. And lo and behold, look at where we are today. So I came to Microsoft about 4 years ago. Jason Bromit, now my best friend, because he hired me into the organization, had an opportunity for me to come to Microsoft in a capacity that I never heard of before. Microsoft was making investments in partners, in the partner community, because they knew that that's what they needed to do in order to be successful. And I joined something called the Voice Practice Development Unit, which was a team of architects focused on cloud voice and helping partners, first of all, understand how they can monetize cloud voice, and then helping them bring that to market. So in my role then, and now, as it's morphed into Teams, my responsibility is really strategic and tactical. So having conversations with my leadership when we started One Commercial Partner, it was really, we need to be level 400 deep strategic, and in Microsoft terms, that's very deep strategic, to help partners understand this Teams concept and how they could embrace it and build a practice around it. And then level 400 technical, so that we could help enable them everywhere from being able to sell the product to being able to do the technical pre-sales and design, the deployment, the support, and managed services. So realistically, in my role at Microsoft, I put on the partner hat and I help them to be able to build or enhance an existing practice around Microsoft cloud technologies while being competitive.
Oh, that's perfect. And I was lucky enough to work with Evan pre-Microsoft almost like a decade ago. And I got to see, you know, you in action, and, you know, you helped me get into the MVP program, move away from being like a Microsoft generalist and becoming a specialist. And so you're kind of doing the same kind of mentorship with these partners. And so when you go into these, you know, large Microsoft partners that have been in this consulting space for a long time, and you're in front of their, you know, their technical experts, you know, the cream of the crop, how are you going in there and, you know, positioning how to change the way they think and how they educate their customers from going, you know, deep technical and really getting that functionality to what their customers' pain points are?
Yeah, that's a great question and a good point, Michael, because I'll tell you, I'm not as technical as any of you on this call. I know the four of you well, and you beat me hands down. In walking into an organization and getting deep into the technical bits, well, first of all, I think Microsoft has a lot of assets for people that want to learn the deep technical pieces of, let's say in this case, Microsoft Teams. But what I feel is really important is there's a role that we all have to start playing if we're not playing it already. We have our pure sellers, and we have the people that are great at deployments. And like I said, those deployment enablement resources are readily available from Microsoft. But there's this role in between. And when, Michael, you and I worked together, that's the role I played in our organization. I wasn't sales. I wasn't a technical deployment person. But I called it technical pre-sales. At Microsoft, it's kind of a, I would call it a combination between a TSP and an SSP, or now what we call a Teams TS and a sales professional, where you've got technical capabilities and sales capabilities, but you also understand strategy. And so when I'm talking to a lot of these organizations, it's not so much Teams, don't think of it as just a product. It's a solution. It's a solution for you and your organization, but it's also a solution for your customers. But that solution is going to look different for every customer. Teams is kind of like a snowflake. The way you deploy it for even two companies in the same vertical market is going to be very different. So for example, the five of us on this call, if we all shared our desktops and shared our Teams client, they would all look completely different, because I've tailored my Teams client for my work life, just like all four of you have done. Now you look at that from a Teams deployment perspective, and from an organizational perspective, it's the same thing. So really the question that I try to get the partners to answer for their customers is, what are your business pain points? What are your business processes? Let's design the solution to address your business pain points and improve upon your business processes. Once you know the answers to those questions, the design of Teams kind of takes care of itself. But on that same note, you need, as a partner or as consultants, to be able to understand that organization. So as they change, how does Teams change to meet those objectives? And as Teams changes, how do you make the customer aware that, hey, there's these new features in Teams? Great. So what? Well, this is how they would apply to you and your organization, or conversely, they may not apply to you and your organization.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And then along the same theme, what do you find the top sort of, say, two recommendations for a Teams partner looking to take it to the next level and really beef up their practice? What would the top two sort of tricks or insight you would give them?
Yeah, I think from a Microsoft perspective, for everybody out there that isn't aware, of course, we're focused on driving Teams adoption. At Microsoft, we call it Teams monthly active usage. But even more so, and this was even pre-COVID, we need to focus on calling and meetings. So being able to enable those workloads with consistency and with resiliency. So we're in a meeting right now. Most of us are in meetings all day long. So to me, it's not just being able to make meetings work, but partners need to be able to bring the wow factor to their customers to say, hey, look, this is a feature in Microsoft Teams meetings and how it applies to you. So I think meetings and calling are really a primary focus, or should be a primary focus for a lot of people. For example, this is a story I love to tell. I sit at my desk all day long, just like you do. Now we're in a meeting and maybe someone's presenting some content. We're all communicating, we're talking to each other because we want to improve that content. Now, my doorbell rings. I'm the only person at home and I'm expecting that important Amazon package or whatever it happens to be. What do? I say, hey, wait, guys, no, wait, stop. I got to go. I'm not going to tell you guys to stop because everybody's a busy person. So what do? I grab my mobile device. I grab and open up my Teams client. And what am I presented with right away? Oh, it knows that I'm in another meeting. And it says, would you like to join that meeting from this device where you're using your audio only from your desktop and the rest of the contents here? Or do you want to transfer to the call to this device? When would you use one versus the other? Well, if I'm going to be back at my desk before the meeting's over, maybe I'm just going to have the content on my mobile device. If I'm not going to be at my desk before the meeting's over, or maybe I have to leave my office or leave my home, I'm going to transfer this device. So, Curtis, kind of having partners make sure they understand these features and then the stories that can apply towards these features. As soon as you tell someone a story, there's two things that happen. One is, because it's changed the way I work, I'm passionate about that. So you can hear the passion in my voice and people get excited and they're like, I want to try that too. So that's the first thing that happens. But the second thing that happens is people are compelled, because now they're like, wait a minute, I've been in that scenario. I've had to go and answer the door. I've had to let my dog out so it doesn't use the bathroom on the rug. I can do that now without interrupting the flow of a conversation. And even from the mobile client, we all know how powerful it is. I encourage everybody to play with it. You can do so much. You can run the entire meeting from the mobile client. But until you're put into the scenario where, one, you either have to use it, or two, someone's taught you how to use it, how do you know how to apply it? So one, I think meetings and calling are an important focus. And then as we move forward, and I know Michael's really good at this, it's, well, how can we make Teams do things that it doesn't do natively? And I'm talking about applications. We've seen applications in Teams channels and even in chats, but now we have applications being exposed in meetings. So, wow, let's talk about making meetings more inclusive and getting people to pay more attention. When someone pops up an app on my screen when I'm in a meeting, I'm paying attention because I'm expected to provide answers. If I'm not paying attention, it's just going to sit there and it's going to wait for me to respond. So I like it because I can bring people into the conversation, something that I used to love to do when I was standing on stage. That was easy. Now it's a little more difficult. So let's leverage these features. So to me, partners should be focused on meetings and calling. And as they progress, well, those applications, and those make it sticky.
And that's really interesting, and that's a great segue, as I was just about to ask you about apps, Evan. And it's like, as a non-developer, like, that's the single biggest thing that excites me about Teams, for sure. And I think where I got the bug was when at Ignite they talked about Dataverse, and where then it was, I can't even remember what they called it now, but it says Dataverse
Oakdale,
now, right?
Oakdale.
Oakdale, Project Oakdale, thank you.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, I went off and tried to develop an app and right within Teams. And I thought that was like the aha moment for me, was I didn't have to leave the Teams client. And I think I built some basic app that tracked the podcasts that we were doing, and people could auto-generate something. And it just really kind of was an awakening. And so I guess maybe expand on that a bit. Like, this seems like the sky's the limit in terms of apps. But where do you, like, you know, the next 5 years, maybe, what do you think we're going to start to see in that space? Or, and maybe what do you think, you know, more importantly, partners and people interested in this should focus on?
Yeah, I think that's, and you made a really interesting point, Dino, that I want to emphasize, is that you did all that within the Teams client. You didn't leave the Teams client to develop the app. And I'm a huge advocate of trying to spend as much time as I possibly can within the Teams client and not do application switching, because there's research that shows that reduces your productivity. For example, I don't like going into Outlook in my email client, because as soon as I see a bunch of unread messages, what am I compelled to do? Click on all of them and try addressing them. So I've implemented tools and my own best practices to try to keep me away from that. Developing an app within the Teams client, same kind of thing. And we can do the low code, no code development. It's really easy. And I mean, there's a lot of different methodologies. And then you can get, you know, using Power Platform, but then you can get into Graph API and doing some coding. So really, it's available for all levels of developers, and even someone like yourself and myself who had never developed an app before, we can do that now. But I think from a future perspective, one of the things I really like about apps, and again, bringing them into meetings, but, and I was talking to a customer about this today. I was showing the customer how you set up a meeting, not in the Outlook client, in the Teams client. And I went through all the features and how you can see availability very easily. I actually like it better than the Outlook client. But one thing that you can't really do from the Outlook client, or you haven't been able to do, is set that meeting in a Teams channel. And of course, the question came up, well, why would you want to do that? Well, Let's think about it. When we talk about a meeting itself, when we had this meeting, we probably did some planning. I had a conversation with Michael beforehand, and you all might have had a conversation before. So there's a pre-meeting experience where we have to do some planning. Maybe it's the creation of some content. Maybe it's a creation of some questions. Then we have the meeting itself. The meeting can be recorded. We can have meeting notes. We can have transcription of that meeting. And maybe we expose some applications, gathering feedback on, let's say, a project that we were all involved in, because we want to be better. We want to improve. So let's gather data. And then the post-meeting experience. Now, the post-meeting experience is the one that I found really interesting. Early with Teams, I started saying, you know what? Microsoft Teams has enabled me to participate in fewer meetings every day. How many people out there want to participate in more meetings every day? If anybody puts up their hand, I don't know what's wrong. So the reason I don't have to participate in as many meetings is because think about the life cycle of a meeting. If we have that meeting in a channel, we do our planning in that channel. We have the meeting and the recording and all the data we've gathered in the meeting in the channel. Now we can go and execute on our to-do list or the tasks at hand. And as we're doing that, we're seeing that within the context of the channel. So what used to have to happen when we were wrapping up a meeting, we got 2 minutes left. We're like, okay, we can't get through the rest of this. We need to schedule our next meeting. With Teams, we don't do that anymore. We don't have to do that. So through the conversation in the channel post-meeting, as we're completing our tasks and tying in things to, well, our tasks within Teams, the tasks you can expose in that channel, we're seeing the work get done. And then we may decide, well, now we need to have that next follow-up meeting. It could have, or we may not need it at all because the conversations continued. So from an app's perspective, I really think, depending on how the way we work changes, there are the apps that, you know, we could use for meetings like this. But then I look at, there's two types, really. In my simplicity, there's two types of apps. There's vertical apps, so let's say healthcare, financial services, etc. And then there's horizontal apps that apply to something like human resources across all organizations. But I think what is really key is that if you go into an organization, and again, remember, I talked about two different organizations having different pain points. The app that works for this customer may not work for this customer. So you can get into some custom, and I think that's what we're going to see is some custom development of apps for specific customers and use case scenarios, as well as horizontal apps. There's a partner that I work with that developed an app for adoption, and it applies for everybody, all their customers. They install it by default, and it becomes part of the Teams window for all these end users. And then they're collecting the data to show that, hey, you know what? Using this app with this customer has increased the adoption of Teams and overall satisfaction, whereas this customer didn't have that app, and we don't see that same growth. So I don't think it's anything too terribly complex. It's just finding what are those business pain points? What are those business processes that we can make better through Teams and the potential development of an app? Beyond that, I know that when we start thinking about meetings, and I think it was a few years ago where at Microsoft Build, we saw the future of meetings, the future of meeting rooms, where it's no touch join, which we're starting to see now, where we can say, hey, Cortana, start my meeting. And then when that meeting starts, nobody has to touch their keyboard, and people are talking, and we're seeing this coming now. It's transcribing my voice, your voice, everybody's voice, and identifying each one of us. And then as I say, hey, you know what, Dino, that's a good point. We should take that away and get back to you. Well, instead of us putting a task, Cortana picks up on it. AI picks up on it, says that looks like a task. So, and it was Evan saying Dino's name. So I'm going to connect the task to those two people. So I think there's going to be some stuff that comes out from Microsoft that's going to really help the productivity in meetings. But partners, I mean, the partners are going to do more because they can focus on the particular customer requirements that they have. Again, whether it's vertical or horizontal. That's my thoughts. Maybe not Microsoft's, but that's what I've seen. And is what I'm hoping happens.
And just a quick thought there too. I mean, that starts with knowing your customer, right? Knowing their processes, knowing their pain points, develop the app that meets their needs.
Yeah, and Curtis, you almost set me up perfectly for this. Microsoft is, again, in recent years, we've started releasing workshops. And Michael, recall when we worked together, we used to do something called an architecture and design workshop for our customers, where I'd go on site with someone smart like Michael or another one of our architects and spend 2 or 3 days interviewing the customer, walking through the organization, watching how they work, and then sitting down and doing a whiteboard session with them, because we didn't have Surface Hubs back then. So we were doing a whiteboard session and started understanding the customer's organization, their current infrastructure. And that time spent, whether it was 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and sometimes 5 days, was invaluable. Now, it was nice because we were also on site with the customers. So we would go out for lunch with them. We would maybe go out for dinner with them and get to know them a little personally. But we'd also see new opportunities. Like, there was one customer in Southern California, and we're walking through their office and we're looking at their meeting rooms, and they're all different. And we're like, how do you use this meeting room? How do you use this meeting room? Well, and we're like, oh boy. So right away, meeting room opportunity. How would you like it to work in this meeting room? There was a very large car manufacturer that we were working with. Can't say who, and I won't say where, because it'll be too easy to figure out. But they had very disparate meeting rooms in their entire organization. And this is when I was a partner. So we were there, Microsoft was there, the customer was there. Everybody was kind of arguing about what to do. I said, did anybody talk to the people that use this meeting room? I said, just a minute. So I ran outside and I grabbed 3 people that were sitting at their desks. I said, do you use this meeting room? Yeah, we do. Do you enjoy using this meeting room? Yeah. Okay, come on in here. Now, I felt sorry for them because these 3 people had to stand up in front of a group of about 25 people, including IT and Microsoft and some executives. I said, can you tell me what you don't like about this room? Okay, can you tell me what you would like to see in this room? Thank you very much. When they left, I said, did anybody ask these people how they use this room and what they think? Or was this something that was just a decision made by somebody upstairs? So really, Curtis, I think that those workshops, I think we call them accelerators now, partner accelerators, are designed to do exactly that. Microsoft actually funds some of these programs for our partners to go and spend the time with their customers. And sure, we can't go out on site anymore, at least for the time being, but we can sure spend a lot of time like this and see the habits of the organization and make sure you're asking questions. And sometimes they don't know what they don't know. So it's our job, my job, is to educate our partners to be able to tell the customers what they don't know, and therefore understand that, hey, this is the world of possibilities. That paging system that you have in your organization, and this happened to me last month, we need paging. Well, Microsoft Teams doesn't do paging. And I said to them, but why do you need paging? Well, we've had it for 20 years. Well, wait a minute. Maybe that's the problem right there. You're using technology that's 20 years old. Is there not a better way to do this? Let's talk about the scenario where you would use paging. Well, someone calls into the front office and we need to page somebody in the office because there's a phone call for them. How many times have we all called into an organization and been put on hold? And maybe we're upset and we're put on hold and we wait. I'm waiting to talk to somebody. Maybe a minute later, that phone rings reception again and they answer, hello, this is contoso.com. How may I help you today? I'm waiting to talk to Evan. I'm getting more irate. Instead, why not say, hey, you know what? Oh, I see. Okay, Evan is available. You don't need to page me. It doesn't really matter where I'm in, because if I'm outside of the office, paging isn't going to help. You see, my presence is green, and you know this guy wants to talk to Evan, and he's upset. So, hey, Evan, by the way, I've got a call for you, and this person's upset. Thank you. You prepared me for the call. I'm going to be extra nice to de-escalate the scenario. To me, that's a way better scenario than me being on hold, listening to bad music, getting more upset, waiting to talk to somebody. If reception would have just said, hey, you know, Evan's not available right now, if you go into Teams, you can see the organization chart. And you could see, oh, here's one of Evan's peers. Would you like to talk to Evan's colleague instead? Sure. I just want to talk to somebody. So to me, it's about one, use these workshops to understand your customers' business pains and business processes, and then ask questions. Challenge the customer when they come to you. We need paging. Okay. We need faxing. Okay. Why? We can't be afraid to ask why. And you can do it. Okay. Well, take me through the scenario where you would use paging, or take me through the scenario where you would use faxing. And I'm not saying that paging and faxing are dead. There's necessities in some organizations, but let's find out why. And if there's a better way to do it, well, let's at least show it to them and talk to them about it. And maybe we could do a pilot and say, hey, let's try it and see. And I've been through that scenario with our customers and our partners, and even when I was a partner myself, and it works often, because you all know Teams is a massive application. It's doing more and more and more, so much so that I have to focus on one part of it. I'm still sure I know a lot about all things Teams, but not enough. So I'm focusing on particular areas. Like Dino, you mentioned apps. I'm not a strong developer, but I've got colleagues that are. And that's how I'm starting to see this evolution of Teams, is I need to be good at certain aspects. My colleagues will be good at other aspects. And then together we build this team to help partners.
So, Evan, I just want to, I mean, that was really great, but I want to circle back a little bit more on sort of like the partner side of things, right? And sure. You know, when you are meeting, let's say, with a new partner, like how do you help set them up for success with regards to how they approach, you know, you talked about like the different processes, like the sales and the pre-sales and the technical and the, you know, the level 400, like how would you, maybe just at a high level, would you set them up for success, like as you start engaging with them?
Yeah, and I think the first thing that I try to do is the same thing that I would do when I'd go into an organization and help them evolve as a consultant, when I was a consultant, evolve or even restructure their organization. And it's, first of all, I want to get to know the organization. So everything from the leadership through to maybe a seasonal worker, and get to know all the people in the organization first, and then understand the people that are focused on just Microsoft in general, because a lot of the partners that I work with, of course, focus on Microsoft and lots of Microsoft products, but also other vendor products. So let me see the Microsoft team and let me understand that team. So for example, because Teams is rooted in foundations around Exchange Online and SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business, and then we get into the security portfolio and meetings and voice. So I want to know who those people are in the organization. You've never done Teams before? That's fine. Did you do Skype for Business? No. Okay. Well, have you ever worked on a PBX? Some organizations might not know what a PBX is, but you've ever worked on phone systems from other vendors. So I try to get that foundational level of knowledge of the organization. And then what we start to do is, well, okay, what is it that you want to take to market? You as an organization, what do you want to do with Teams? Do you want to be just like the partner next door, or how are you going to differentiate yourselves? That's why it's good to understand the entire organization, because maybe, and I'm working with a partner like this already, they've got a fantastic endpoint managed services organization, a great development arm, and some, I won't say old PBX guys, but people that used to work on legacy PBXs. So I'm now seeing the foundation that they have to focus on Teams. And now because they have dev and they have voice, well, we can address the calling piece and the application development piece, but it's really key that we have the support from the executives. And what do the executives care about? Profitability. Because we're going to take resources and educate them or retool them. So during that period of time, they're not necessarily going to be revenue generating to the same extent as they were. So we need to make sure that the executive understand the opportunity that Microsoft Teams presents for them. Once we have that buy-in, the rest of the stuff just starts to happen. So we start working with the individual or parts of the organization, sales, And really, when we do sales enablement work, it's good for all skill sets, whether you're a seller, technical seller, deployment person, support person, like licensing. We talk about team. Yeah. I wanted some smiles because you all
you need a PhD, right?
My point exactly. I'm not a licensing expert by any stretch, but I understand the team's licensing. So when I talk about licensing, I want as many of the people that are going to focus on Microsoft Teams as part of that conversation as possible. Why? Well, as a support person, you get a call from a customer and they're having an issue. What's the issue? Maybe it's related to licensing. So that support person needs to understand, I see this person's got domestic calling plans, but they need to make international calls and that requires communication credits. You don't have communication credits because you don't have a toll-free number. Someone needs to turn this on. Let me help you with that. So as simple as that might sound as a pre-sales activity, it can always be post-sales. So we start at that level 100 baseline, and then we proceed to 200, 300, 400. And we start getting that 300-400 enablement, like those are the technical people. That's where we start to focus on specifics. So it might be, let's focus on meetings. Let's focus on calling. Let's focus on the dev side, which I bring other colleagues in for. So foundation across the board of, and I think I mentioned it to you gentlemen earlier, we look at sales organization, the technical pre-sales, the delivery, and the support / managed services, and now as well, the development arm. A partner or an organization that is all that, great. We can focus on all those areas. If you're only going to focus on one, that's great too. We'll work within those guidelines. Does that make sense, Habib?
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. And then, so just so that, you know, some of our listeners who, you know, are partners or, you know, wanting to be a partner. So is it just registering yourself as a Microsoft partner at partner.microsoft.com and sort of going through that process to onboard themselves? And then at some point, they may be able to engage with someone like yourself or someone from your team to be able to give them this level of understanding of the whole, I guess, process. Right.
Yeah. And good point. I mean, navigating that landscape is, there's a lot to it. And you're correct. I mean, the first thing you want to do is become a Microsoft partner, because as soon as you do, there's a lot of benefits that are available to you. And then you, as you grow your partner relationship, you move from what we call a network partner to silver to gold, and there's different benefits that come along with that. And as you do that, there are different groups of resources that help you through that process. So ultimately, I mean, if it's the partner's desire, becoming a managed partner, working with one commercial partner, the division that I represent, that I'm a part of, we work with our top managed partners in Canada. So I only work with 5 or 6 partners, but that doesn't mean I don't support other partners as well. And what we help other partners who maybe aren't managed at this point, it's here are the resources that are available to you. Like, for example, there's a team of people, they're called Partner Advisory Services, that are available to all Microsoft partners that do similar work that what we do. They don't engage the same strategic depth. But for example, you're a partner and maybe you have a sales opportunity that you need some support with. Maybe it's around Microsoft Teams and phone system and calling plans. You can bring this part of the organization in to help you with that sales opportunity. And they'll even help you construct demos to do for your customers. You can get premier support hours through the Microsoft Partner Network membership. There's something called DevChat, where you can have a conversation with developers within this team about developing an app. And this isn't just for managed partners, have this available to them, but so do all partners. So I really encourage partners to become familiar with all the benefits that you get, because I've brought this team into presentations that I've done and meetings that I've done, and it's been interesting. There could be 30 or 40 attendees in the room from different partners, and I asked the question, how many of you were aware that this was a benefit to you? Maybe a third of the hands go up. So 2/3 of them were not aware. And then I say, well, how many of you were aware of all the capabilities here? Most of the hands go down. some of the biggest partners we have in Canada leverages Team consistently, and it's and they've got statistics that have shown how it's increased their revenue opportunities. So just because you're not a managed partner doesn't mean Microsoft won't work with you. There's teams of people all over Microsoft, because remember, partners are what we need to be successful.
Well, that's awesome. I think you covered all the bases from all the different areas, you know, that a partner would need to understand and stuff like that. So I think it was really great to be able to have you on and share your insight and your knowledge and, you know, your boots on the ground kind of information. So that was really great. And yeah, thanks everybody for listening in. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode as well as I did, and we'll catch you on our next episode.
Great. Thanks everyone.
Thanks, everybody.